A bag of goodies.
Yeah, you do.
How exciting. Well, for those kids in the room, if I was to tell you that at the end of the message, I had $20 to give you if I saw someone really good listening, how would you go with that? How about the adults? What if I include the adults in that as well? What if I said, you know, like if you were listening at the end of this service, I could give someone $20. I'll just leave that right there. But what if I said to you, if you lean into the message, there's something of greater value than that $20 that you could get? What if there was something of greater value? Now, parents, I would encourage you to have your children not watching videos or listening to reels. Because they could be sitting there drawing or playing with cars or doing things, but the Word of God still goes into them. I remember when my children were little and they were sitting in the queues playing with magnet cars or drawing pictures, and at the end of the church service they would say, God spoke to me about this. So I would encourage your parents, this is a family service. Let's do church together as a family. Let's not go, this is no kids' church today, so kids, you just watch Bluey. Right? Because I want to lean into the Word. No. We want to lean into the Word together as family. Well, this message is quite appropriate considering there's an announcement next week. Because this message is all about the power and authority to inherit, to take what God has promised you for you as an individual, for you as a member of a family, for you as a member of the church, the family of God, and for this church to take its inheritance. This is not individual and corporate. This is individual and corporate combined. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Yeah. This scripture's used to encourage people to be strong and courageous. This is not about physical strength. Yeah. This is about being strong in the face of what you're about to face. This is an impartation into Joshua to say, you can do and accomplish the things which God is going to set before you. This is also a scripture for us, for you, to be ready to accomplish the things for which God is about to do for you. This was not something about doing something in the future, way down the track. When I'm 98 years old, then I'm going to see my retirement village saved for the kingdom of God. No, this is about the imminent future and the future. This is about today and what happens in the next few moments. This is about tomorrow and how the family life in your family changes. The inheritance that God has got for you. What has He got for your family? This is a call to be ready. Ready for what? Well, in Joshua's case, it was to take the children of Israel into the promised land. And the first step of that taking of the promised land was this city called Jericho. So let's read in Joshua 6 from verse 1. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go in or out. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho and its king, all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to march around the town 7 times, with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests give one long blast on the ram's horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse, and the people can charge straight into the town. Now, this city of Jericho, these walls that were there, they were tightly shut to stop people going in and out. This Bible story is a true account of something that happened. And when we look at these accounts, we can learn truth for us today. We may not be facing a city in the practical sense with physical walls around it, built like a castle. But we are facing things that appear to be obstacles or things of intimidation within front of us that are going to stop us from taking the inheritance. This city of Jericho was the first city in the promised land that God had said. Heavenly Father, I just pray that as we continue this message, you open our eyes to hear the words that you have got to say to us and encourage us to follow your voice and to lean in, to know the plans and the pathways and the purposes and the promises and the inheritance that you have for each one of us. So this was the plan that was given to Joshua. Who likes the plan? Only because you know the end result. That's true. Only because you know the end result. Maybe some don't know the end result. Well, we've got this little dramatization video to watch so we can watch this dramatized action of what this plan did and remind us of what happened. How encouraging that Jericho, as a city, was part of the inheritance for Israel. But it was not just part of the inheritance for Israel. As you saw at the end, the map, the inheritance for each different person wasn't Jericho. Some of the people that inherited Jericho because they were part of the tribe. And some of the people have inherited Jericho because that was their little patch of land. That's like the church. When the church inherits something corporately, you inherit it because you're part of the corporate church. You may not physically possess that little plot of land, but it's the church's, because God has caused it to be an inheritance. You know, when people get saved and you're part of this church, that's part of the inheritance that God's adding into this house. When we see youth alive and we see those great events and you contribute to that, that's part of the inheritance that God has caused for this house. When we see the blessing of God poured out, when we see prophecy come to pass, when we see ministry, when we see healings, when we see God's power at work, when we see people ministered to, when we see God speak his life into someone, as part of the inheritance. It's my inheritance. I'm part of this church. There's a promise of inheritance for this house. There's a promise of inheritance for you. In Deuteronomy 1:38 says, Joshua the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall enter. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit. He shall cause Israel to inherit. Jericho was part of that inheritance. And Joshua was the one that was there, led by God, to cause the people to inherit it. Pastor Lee is our Joshua in this moment. He is the one that is going to cause this house to inherit it. When that announcement is made next week, it is part of the inheritance that he is going to cause this house to walk in. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss out on the things of God. You don't want to miss out on the inheritance he's calling us to. So what are the promises? What are the things that he has spoken to you as an individual that you may be going to inherit? I don't know. There are things God has spoken to you that he wants you to inherit. Is it a ministry? Is it an outworking of his love towards someone? Is it the restoration of a family? Is it bringing a family member to Christ? What are the things God has promised this house corporately as an inheritance? Previous prophecy, a place of prayer, a place that's safe for people, a place of unusual giftings, a place where people grow in God, a place where people can be and find home and move no more from their home, a place where people can find where they belong, a place where people can reside in the presence of God, a place of closeness to God, a place where all belong, a place where dot, dot, dot. This is the inheritance God wants us to have. He is telling you and reminding us that we have an inheritance. Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. It's his inheritance that he's giving to us, because you are his inheritance. You are his inheritance. When we choose to follow Christ, when we say, God, you are the Son of God, I believe in you that you died on that cross, as Trent so poetically put it in communion, that Jesus died on the cross to take the sin that I could never, ever make a way to God. And I say, thank you, God. Come into my life. Be with me. Be my Lord and Savior. I am his inheritance. I am a child of God. That's you. For Jericho, there was a plan. We've read the plan. We've seen the plan. We've seen how it worked. It was a one-off plan. It was a one-off plan. We need to be following his one-off plans. We need to follow his plan exactly as he gives it. There's some warnings for us in this story as well. You know, Jericho should have been taken a long time before it was. The children of Israel left Egypt and were told, go in the promised land. And they chickened out. They had the power and authority, but they didn't follow the plan that was given on that day. We need to be following the plan, listening carefully to the plan. I don't want this church to wait 40 years to inherit what God has. I don't want to wait 40 years for my family to inherit what God has. I don't want to be Caleb and Joshua, old men, holding on, taking the retirement village. I want it now. We need to follow the plan that he's got for us today. We have the power and authority. Now, at my work, we have this thing called a forklift. It has the power to lift heavy items and pallets of stuff. And it's needed to unload trucks. And I can drive one, but I didn't have the authority because I didn't have a license and my workplace hadn't authorized me to use it. So I couldn't use the power that was at hand because I didn't have the authority. We had a truck driver turn up. He had the authority to use a forklift, but not our forklift. So he couldn't put the two things together because he wasn't authorized in that space to use that forklift. Now, I've got a forklift license. I have the power and authority to use that forklift to do what needs to be done. The two need to come together in the right way at the right time. Now, if I want to drill a hole in a wall and I go, I've got some cordless tools and I've got some power for those tools. Let me see if I've got some power. I've got some power for tools, all right? I have a battery. That's the power. I have some tools. I want to drill a hole. Yep. I've got the authority to use this planer. I can put the power in this planer, but this tool is going to make a mess of that wall. It'll put a hole in it, but it'll be a mess. Right? We've got to put the power in the right tool for the right time. Now, if I want to make a piece of wood flat, that's a great tool. But that one's not. But if I keep them separate from each other, they still don't work. You have to connect them together for it to work. We have power and authority. He's given us the tools. We need to select the right tool, follow the plan, put them together, and watch what happens. We need to be following the plan. Jesus followed the plan for his life. He had the power and authority to not go to a cross. But he followed the plan. Father, if it's your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. You know, power and authority and following the plan doesn't always look like it comes out like a bed of roses. Paul went to prison. The disciples were beaten. But power and authority sustain you in that moment because you know God has got something for you. If Paul and the disciples hadn't experienced what they had experienced, we wouldn't have this. We wouldn't have this to read and to understand that his power and authority sustains us in those messy times. You know, when they were first commanded to take that city, they went, they explored it, they decided that it was too hard because there were giants in the land. So they chickened out and retreated. And we can read in Numbers chapter 14 about what happened. Oh, the people are big. The land there, it devours people. It chews people up. But everybody there is huge and strong and giants. But the land eats people up. That's delusion right there, right? Like everybody there's super strong, but the land's no good. We will die and wither away in it because the land can't sustain us. But the giants it's good for, but us, no. You see, doesn't make sense, but it spread the report and the people chickened out. But what happened? The very next day, the people got up and said, we've sinned against God. Let's go. Let's go into the land. We're ready to go and do it. But Moses said, why are you disobeying the Lord's command? You won't succeed. Don't go up because the Lord is not with you. You will be defeated because you have turned away from the Lord. Because they didn't follow the plan exactly as it was given right then and there. And then they presumed that they still had the power and authority to operate and do what they needed to do. Never presume. Never presume. The power and authority God's invested in you, He's invested it in you to do what he's accomplished. And if he says you've missed it, then you've missed it. Wait for the next plan. Because he has another plan. He has another plan. The walls of Jericho had 40 years to be built to make them more intimidating and stronger and look more demoralizing than what they really were. Because from that moment on, that city started to build their walls. In Joshua 2 verse 8, when the spies went in, Rahab says this to them, "I know the Lord has given this land to you, and great fear has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea, and you departed Egypt." Right from that moment, these people knew that that land belonged to the children. They knew that that inheritance was someone else's. And they did everything they could to stop them from taking it. They built walls. They made it look like it was too insurmountable. You know, when God says something to you, maybe the wall just looks like it's too difficult to do. Maybe it looks like the task at hand is too insurmountable because the enemy has putting blocks in to make it too hard for you to go across. Maybe there's things that have been built up to make it look like you can't do what God said. It's a bluff. It's a bluff. It's a bluff. The inheritance was promised. It was given. The wall was a bluff. The wall cannot stand. Those walls cannot stand. Those things that you think are insurmountable and too hard to get past cannot stand. The mindsets that you have cannot remain. They are defeated. They are defeated. The wall to stop you walking into your promise must fall. The wall to stop you walking into your promise must fall. There's another person in this story, Rahab. Rahab is this beautiful picture of the way God has a way of orchestrating salvation. Here's this woman who's living in the inheritance of another nation, who is brought into that inheritance. Here's this woman who follows the plan God gave her in protecting two spies to bring her to a place of salvation. Here's a woman who's living within walls that have been built as if they are protecting her, but they stop her from stepping out into her inheritance. They stop her from stepping out into her inheritance. They were good intentions. They looked like they were there to protect her. Maybe that's how your walls have been built around you, as things that they're not insurmountable objects out there that are going to stop me walking into. They're walls that are built around me to stop me walking out of. And they're there to protect me. But Rahab followed the plan for her life as well. You know, you think about that. There's two spies. They go into a city. And of all the places they go, they meet this one woman who's willing to protect them. Isn't God good? Yeah. Of all the people that you can come across, who's God got for you to meet? She stood and followed the plan for her life and was brought into her inheritance and her family. And her family. Not just her, and her family. You know, when you stand and you follow the inheritance for your life and you follow that plan and your family. Doesn't matter which one of you, and your family are brought out into the inheritance God has. And what an inheritance for Rahab the prostitute. Not someone that you might pick to bring into the inheritance of God. Matthew 1, verses 5 and 6. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David, and Jesus, a descendant. Wow. The way God orchestrates salvation. The way he weaves things together. The way he takes someone and goes, I've got a plan for you. You just follow it. Just listen to the voice he gives you and follow it. I have a plan. I have an inheritance for you and your family. It's time, church, to walk in his power and authority, not presumptuously, but following the exact plan he has for you. Your plan. Maybe you're looking from the outside at the insurmountable and you need some walls, some obstacles, some things to fall, some mindsets to come down. Maybe it's doubt. Maybe you don't even think God can do it. Stay silent till he says shout for joy. Maybe you're on the inside and you built walls around you to protect you. And there's no perceivable way out but God. Maybe you feel like you don't belong or fit in. I'm pretty sure that's how Rahab felt. But God. But God integrated into the promise. The walls of containment removed. Maybe your first step of inheritance might be that you don't know Jesus. Maybe you've never asked him to be your personal saviour. Maybe you've never given your life over to him, or you have once long ago. The first step to your inheritance, to taking a position within the kingdom of God, to getting to go to heaven and be worshipping our Saviour for eternal, is to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And if you do that, you walk into all the inheritance and the promises God has for you. Church, I'd like to just make a prayer for those that want to give their life to Jesus today, either online or at home or in the room. So I'd ask you to pray this prayer after me. to encourage those who want to pray it from the heart. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you came and took my place. You died on a cross to forgive me and make me right with you. I believe you are the Son of God, my Savior and my friend. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer...
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.